Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem, Power of Words, Shir number 102. Today, we're going to talk about the conditioning that the victim of verbal abuse gets used to. The famous experiment that a scientist conducted, it's very well known, put a frog, number one, in a pan of very hot water, and the frog jumped right out. Then she placed frog number two in a pan of cool water, and the frog did not jump out. Very gradually, the scientists raised the temperature of the water. The frog gradually adapted until it boiled to death. So part of conditioning is adapting. In other words, conditions may change around us. And like frog number two in this little story above, we adapt gradually. We're not inclined to notice those gradual changes. And that's how most victims adapt to verbal abuse. They slowly adapt, like this frog number two, and they're living in an environment that's killing their spirit. And going back to our story, frog number one jumped right out of the hot water because the frog noticed the contrast between the comfortable ear she had been in, the frog, and the very hot water that the frog was put into. She felt the difference, and she was able to discriminate. If she had stayed in hot water after experiencing that it was not a healthy environment, that's called denying the experiencing or not acting unnaturally. But a victim is conditioned regardless of, you know, background. We adapt to things. There's a lot of books written on how we adapt culturally, even to injustices. And basically what happens is with the spouse of an abuser, they believe that their spouse is being rational towards them. So again, the book Verbal Abusive Relationship goes with the majority of cases statistically that the husband is the abuser and the wife is the victim. It could go the other way around, like we said many times, but we're going to talk in the context of the way this book is expressed. So the idea is like this. All verbal abuse is not rational. It's not rational. And we have this very often with the feminine, right? When someone's irrational, or they accuse someone of being irrational, a husband to a wife, is because women are irrational. They depict femininity as being irrational. And so therefore, the abuser, in this case the husband, believes they're the rational one and she's the irrational one. If the abuser denies his abusive behavior, they could say it didn't happen, or saying that what their wife said or did was the reason for it. So then the wife may look for a rationality there, believing that her husband indeed is logical. She may come to the conclusion, there must be some reason he's angry at me. There must be some reason why he thinks my work is not important. There must be a reason why he thinks I'm starting I want to start an argument. So the victim is believing, based on conditioning, that her husband is behaving logically. And that's the most basic primary causes of the victim's confusion. Because the husband may hold the door for her at one moment, very respectful, even open up the car door for her and the house door for her, and smile, and then scream at her when she answers a question the next moment. There's a sudden shift from the rational to the irrational that increases her confusion. And not only increases her confusion, she's going to say to herself, I'm going to try to make sense of this. I'm going to try to figure this out. There's something I'm doing off that I have to fix. Really, there's nothing you could fix. So the victim may not only not recognize the abuse, but they never asked even that question, am I being verbally abused? She may have not even asked that question ever. People don't know what verbal abuse is. It's a new concept. And you know, so that's really what it is. Sometimes what happens is that the husband, in this case, again, could go the other way around, but the husband convinces the wife that she has a not healthy family or flaky family or not functional family. And the wife believes, like the husband and his family, they're in the real world. But then when I thought about my own relatives, the wife says, I realized that they were highly respected and they did make great contributions to society. Nothing wrong with my background. My family's solid. I could see none of it is true now. And others being brainwashed that way. They're being brainwashed very often. They have this agenda, abusers. They try to control you. And if you don't know that, then you're helpless. Very often, a victim of verbal abuse has these cliches in their head, and they have to really question their cliches and challenge them in order to recognize verbal abuse. The first thing that a victim of verbal abuse will say is, it takes two. It takes two, meaning that I, the wife, or the husband in some cases, right? We also have our share of the blame of this upsetness that happened here. So that is one mistake they make. Another mistake is they believe love conquers all. The more loving that you are of your husband, the more accepting, then of course your husband will reciprocate. But it never happens that way. Again, goes both ways. When a wife is verbally abusive, you could be as loving as you want. It's not going to help. Very sad. We're not talking about normal cases here. Or that you tell yourself as a victim, you could rise above this matzav. You could rise above your pain. Now again, there's gedarim, there's different aspects of how much you handle and how much not. But within a normal range of human behavior, with regular chesaronis, when you're dealing with real serious abuse day in and day out, you know, and sometimes the victim will say to themselves, you know, at least I have a roof over my head. Maybe I'm expecting too much. Be happy with what I have. Now, that sounds very good because, you see, that's a good midah. To be sameach bechelkai, to be happy with your lot, is a good midah. It is a good midah. But over here, it's being used to block out terrible behavior from your husband and to say, at least I have a roof over my head. Now, of course, you have to look at the good things that Hashem gives you. It's a separate cheshbon, but Hashem also wants you to protect yourself. He wants you to do that hashtadlus when something's really, really off. Or they say to the wife that a woman has to give more than the man in a relationship, and they give their svaras behind it. And sometimes the victim, the wife, buys into that. Or the victim will say, if you're nice to people, they'll be nice to you. So if a wife is very abusive, the husband thinks, I just be nice and nice, and she'll reciprocate over time. Sometimes that doesn't happen. With normal people, over time, it chips away. Kamayim punim al punim, they'll respond back. But we're talking about cases that there are serious and ingrained issues that it doesn't work that way. Take it with a grain of salt, they'll say. Or keep trying. Another one that they say is that his bark is worse than his bite. If the victim believes that, then the victim may think that words shouldn't bother me. Words shouldn't bother me. Now, again, the Gemara talks about these situations where it's a madrega to try to learn where words don't affect your equilibrium and your inner peace and your calmness. That's true. But there's no denying that Einas Devarim is very, very vicious, that it's a terrible thing, and that it does have effect naturally, and you have to fight against it, and we're all human, and we're going to feel that Einas Devarim, and therefore we have to be very sensitive to other people. Sometimes we rationalize and say, you know, he doesn't know any better. He doesn't know any better, or it's just a stage, you know, it's just a stage. Or they'll think to themselves the old rhyme. The old rhyme says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. If a victim believes that, they may think, no matter what he says, she shouldn't feel hurt. Or you're told you should accept others the way they are. And if a victim believes that, they'll think in their minds that they should accept and understand their husband's terrible behavior. Accepting who the way you are does not mean that, by the way. We've had other shiurim about this. It's you can't just do that. Accept them the way you are. You could be less judgmental about it, but when you recognize a problem, you recognize a problem, and you call it for what it is. The next thing is that a victim says that it always have to be done l'kav zchus. Now, it's a mitzvah in the Torah to be done l'kav zchus. B'tzedek tishpeit hamisecha, 100%. But again, these shiurim, where we entitle it, and you see the word verbal abuse there, we're talking about chronic cases where you're not done l'kav zchus. Or, you know, it could be done l'kav zchus in, let's say, why they got it to this point. That, if you want, you can do. Like, they were conditioned, or that they didn't know better, their father was an abuser, so they decided to abuse as well. Whatever it may be, you could give them that type of benefit of a doubt if you want to. But you can't give the benefit of the doubt to say that, you know, this abuse could go on, and it's my fault, someone else's fault, and give them the benefit of the doubt they just had a bad day. You know, if it's something perpetuating on and on and on, it's not just having a bad day. So then there's no inyan to be done the kaf schus, and you get the help you need based on the reality that you see as best as you could. Sometimes you say nobody's life was easy, or it should be a kapara, you know. So it's really, you really need shikal hadas with this, because severe verbal abuse is something that any mentor of whoever it may be, you know, you have to really recognize that you have to know when there's an issue, and Hashem wants you to do the shtadlus that you need to do to protect yourself. So the fact that life isn't easy, yes, life isn't easy, but that means you should get abused? Absolutely not. So the idea behind what we talked about today is to know that if someone's a victim of verbal abuse, they'll often be conditioned that way. You know, sometimes even before they got married, you know, receiving abuse, acclimating to that situation. And we talked about different mindsets that the victim of the abuse may have when they're afraid to move forward. And they really have to daven and then ask for the courage, and the people that are able to help, have achrayis to help, to save people from this terrible machla of verbal abuse. And for the ones that do it, you know, there's, you know, unless you're really far out there and you sunk so low where you like Pari, your bechira is taken away from you. But for the most part, you could learn a lot from every struggle. Anyway, bracha v'atzlacha. And we'll hopefully get to more pleasant aspects of the power of words. But the shiurim are unfortunately necessary. And again, if you're not sure, you ask a shaila about these things. But it is something that unfortunately is prevalent, and it needs to be stopped as soon as possible. Bracha v'atzlacha.